stand for national anthem. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest on the public agenda? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to the minutes of the previous meeting. Councilor Pryor.
Before that, Mr. Mayor, could I ask Council to waive the rules to allow the residents of Angstrom to speak on concerns with their road as item 5.3 delegations?
So moved. Is there a second? Deputy Mayor, all those in favor? Carried. Back to the minutes of the previous meeting. Councilor Pryor.
I'll move item 4.1 be adopted.
Second. Councilor Puget, any corrections on the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. That brings us to the delegations. However, we have a conflicting item on the agenda, which is 10.2. The moratorium on the sign. So at this time, I'm going to bring 10.2 forward first for council to address, and then we can address the delegations. So on 10.2, Councilor Melosh.
Can I comment about 10.2 or
yes,
the other one as well? Thank you.
I'll take either one.
The concern I have is that the applicant has been trying to get this sign for quite some time now, going back and forth, and now this is introduced, which will potentially sideswipe his attempts to get his sign up, and that's part of my concern in terms of now addressing 10.1, leaving him potentially high and dry with a sign. And I don't know what administration has to comment on that.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Councilor Walsh. I don't think, first of all, administration is trying to sideswipe the issue. We're looking at the reality of it is he's seeking relief of something that is prohibited. What we're doing with our report is bringing forward our concern as administration. We are undergoing a process of doing urban design guidelines. That is a public process. We allow people to provide input. Our Heritage Committee has provided significant input with regards to the urban design guidelines as it relates to a contextual part of the sense of this town, where we're moving this town forward. My addition to this report, as Rebecca initially prepared the report, and as I reviewed it and I developed further concerns based on some of Council's previous decisions, I wanted to make sure that we took it into context with everything. So we have paid consultants to come in, design, provide us with some urban design guidelines. And in the context of that, I think they need to be fully vetted before we make any further decisions, especially as it relates to providing relief. My concern is, once again, is that all I'm asking for is a moratorium for council to not make a decision until we have these urban design guidelines. I think it's pretty imperative that council council take this under serious consideration, especially in light of the fact that we've gone and spent significant monies to not only develop urban design guidelines, look at the heritage aspects of our community, and the reality of it is we want to create a sense of place here in Amherstburg. My concern is that people come under the auspices of, you know, I want to advertise my business. I have full understanding of that. I'm not disputing that. My concern is when you look at it in the context of a sense of place for this community moving forward, and what we're going to try and make Amherstburg, what we envision Amherstburg to be in the future, I quite frankly am of the opinion that some of these signs are out of context for that look and feel we want this community to look like. It's fully within council's purview to allow these types of exemptions and the reliefs requested by businesses. I just do not think it's the appropriate time to do so without having all the information in front of you. And that's why I made the adjustment to Rebecca's report. She just brought forward the urban design guidelines for council's consideration, and I feel strongly about it. Unfortunately, there's going to be people that don't agree with me, and I can appreciate that. I can appreciate their businesses. I appreciate what they're trying to do. But there's also another report on this agenda that tries to deal with it fairly, and what I think is in a more appropriate context for the entire town. So I just offer that for your consideration.
Further?
Okay.
And I don't have any problem. In principle, I agree exactly what you're saying. I did sit in the, you know, the Monte presentation I had with the Heritage Committee on that. It focused a lot on we talked about urban design, but it really talks, you know, the commercial buildings, you know, in the core, and I still think the urban design guidelines, which are going to affect a lot of businesses, and we talk about the look and their signage, but then I think we need to go to the businesses, okay, under the, you know, the CIP, you know, and get their input on what they feel a sign should look like under the urban design, you know, so get some recommendation or feedback from them. Not that a group of people that I'm going to call are not, maybe not the non-business one people that are going to say, well, this is what we think a sign should be, and a business person will say, well, no, a sign has to be like this, and so there has to be input, I think, from the business people as well with respect to urban design guidelines, signage.
If I may, Your Worship. Thank you. And through Your Worship to Councillor Walsh, I don't dispute that at all, Councillor Walsh. When the guidelines are formalized and we are able to communicate them to the public, they'll have an opportunity to provide input at that point in time. I go back to the fact that our manager of licensing has gone through extensive consultations with our business community on previous things. And to be quite frank, we have had poor representation from the businesses. The last time she went out, 20 businesses out of 211 businesses in Amherstburg showed up. So quite frankly, I'm sorry. I just feel that many are being complacent and want to come after the fact tell us about their problems. Well, the reality of it is this council and our administration goes forward, does our job. We ask for public input. We ask for all of it. And what happens? Nobody shows up, and those who do usually are in support of what we're trying to do, and those that don't want to come and seek relief from council. And to be very honest with you, my concern becomes, once again, is if we're going to make bylaws to prohibit things, and council's going to quickly provide relief, then why do we make the bylaws?
Sorry, and one last comment. And yes, you're right, I had that same conversation with the business owner about not, you know, showing up and putting, having some input into the process.
Councilor Fryer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to the CEO. John, point taken, although if this was last week when Mr. Bonnie was here, we would have dealt with the sign. So that's why I'd be in favor of dealing with what's in front of us today. And as we go through the agenda, we approve this moratorium for anyone else coming before us. If Mr. Bonnie was here, it would have been dealt with 2 weeks ago. We would have got the answers that we needed. So, and I don't think being the business person, real estate agent that he is, I'm sure if there's any guidelines that he had have to conform to, you know, what the town's looking for a heritage look, I guarantee you Mr. Bonney would be all for that. So I'd be okay with moving forward through the agenda, and then once we get to 10.2, then approve it.
Councilor Pujay?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We've already brought up 10.2, and further to, and I thank Mr. Michelli for his comments, but further to his comments, this council spent a great deal of taxpayers' money for urban design guidelines, and we were very pleased with planning that they worked very diligently with Wendy's to get that urban design look that we required. And council has been cautioned several times by legal regarding the signage and how it is very distracting to some drivers. So I'm all for this recommendation and a moratorium be placed on all signage requests, including political signs for the areas bound by Texas Road to Lowside Road and from Malage Road to the water's edge until the urban design guidelines for signage has been approved.
Okay, so you're making that motion?
Also move.
And second, Councilor Courtney? Okay, so there is a motion on the floor. And just for clarification, this won't preclude council from still addressing the delegations. I'll still ask them if they want to continue. But it just made more sense to deal with this because one way or the other, it'll give council a better position to address them. Councilor Levine?
So in hearing you say that, if we go ahead with this and then we listen to the delegation, Mr. Bondi, are we going to then have to not only offer relief from the bylaw, but offer relief from the moratorium?
I will defer to Madam Clerk, but that's what would be my my understanding.
Councilor Frack?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll make a motion to defer this until after the delegations are heard.
Motion to defer takes precedence. Is there a second? Councilor Malage? So only on the motion to defer. All those in favor of deferral? Okay, motion passed. So we will defer. I will go back to 5.1, Brad Bondi and Amy Bailey. Go ahead.
Thanks, all, Mr. Mayor.
Press the button.
We good now?
Yeah.
I apologize for my looks, everybody. Just took 12 unprivileged kids to the Tiger game. Tiger smoked everybody, so I was good. Okay. I didn't think, and I apologize for not being here last meeting. I was told by somebody that I didn't have to be here. Also, they definitely would have been here, okay? That being said, all I've been wanting to do is what do you guys need, what do you want? I've been with Action Signs. They put some stuff together. And we're willing to do what you guys want to do. Doesn't have to be anything huge, doesn't have to be anything big. We're asking for what we wanted, and we're hoping that we can get it.
Okay, is there questions? Councilor Malage?
I'm not sure who to ask this question to, but can we work with Mr. Bondi and develop a sign that reflects our heritage? Concepts, we'll call it, for lack of a better word at this point in time.
Through your worship to you, Mr. Walsh, until council provides the approval of the urban design guidelines, I would be moving on my own authority, and I don't want to do that. I know what I would suggest would look good, but council has not made that decision, so it's a little premature. And what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, we may come up with guidelines, but I don't want Brad to spend money that he doesn't need to spend. And then after the urban design guidelines don't get approved or do get approved, I don't think that's fair to him. I don't think it's fair to us.
We just got done going through a process with Wendy's to create that heritage look on a building.
Mm-hmm.
Gone through that process. Why can't we do the same process as Mr. Bondi?
Through your worship, we could go through the Heritage Committee and the Heritage Committee review quite sure it'll look a lot different than what he's proposed this evening.
Can I just say something?
Sure.
We've been actually working on this for over a year, trying to get things accomplished. And a couple meetings ago, when I brought this forward again, I said the same thing. I'll do what you, I just want to sign this, says, there you go, right? But the Amherst flower and gifts, and then Team Red One. That's all like the signs that Petrus was allowed, that you know, another field of realtors were allowed on buildings and whatnot. So it's nothing grotesque, it's neat, it's clean, it's simple. And we'll do what we need to do for you guys.
Mark, did you have something to add?
Yes, through you, Mayor. What I was going to say for the Wendy's, that the official plan actually dictated that the Heritage Committee be consulted. And that was part of the official plan. So I was just going to, that's why it went to the Heritage Committee. And of course, at that point, the Heritage Committee provides their expertise to council.
Okay, that brings me to Council Pusha.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I mean, we went through this process. As Mr. Michelli stated, we had meetings, we advertised, we asked the public, what do you want? They didn't want the sign pollution all over Amherstburg. That's what this is about. We are trying to eliminate that. And we had legal advice regarding too many signs up. So every time somebody comes before us, here we are again, arguing the point. We have a bylaw already to prevent portable signs. And, you know, we have a we're requested by administration to have a moratorium on this until we can get back a report. I don't know why we keep doing this over and over and over again. And as soon as we approve it for one person, then there's another person that comes before us. We're defeating our whole purpose here in trying to have an urban design for to be heritage related. So I'm asking council to reject this request and to approve the administration's report on the moratorium.
Councilor Pryor.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Nicole, the two pieces of paper that Brad provided, have you seen these? The signs?
I haven't seen the new illustration.
So I'm wondering now, if we approve the sign, right, which sign are we looking at? Because there's two here, and I don't know which one is.
Well, Mr. From Action Signs, but he had put two in there. So really, whatever, doesn't matter to me which one at all, right? And it's just, tell me which sign I have to do, and I'll do it, right? So, and then we have to make changes, obviously. We'll make the changes. We'll do it within what you guys want us to do. Whatever everybody wants, we'll do. But I request, because we've been working on this for a year and a half, that, well, over a year anyway, that we get something together before the moratorium gets processed. Out of fairness to me, being not only a businessman, but we do quite a bit in the community, not pat ourselves on the back, nothing like that, just to move forward to be what has to be done.
But Brad, out of the two signs, which are the two signs that you're asking on the council to approve tonight?
Well, we can make it similar to what Petrus has, the lower one as opposed to the top.
So you're saying this one here?
Sure.
It's 90 inches across and 108 inches tall.
Through you, Mayor DiCarlo. So that's what was contained within my report last week. So the exemptions that are required remain the same. That's signs not permitted, on-premise signs. So that would have to be exempted from the sign bylaw. Also, the square feet area is over 18 square feet over the allowed in the bylaw. And the height is also exceeding what's allowed in the sign bylaw.
So I'll make a motion to approve the signage as presented before us, and allow for the exemption for Brad Bondi to have the off-site sign and also the site business of Amherstburg Flowers and Gifts underneath.
Is there a second? Councilor Melange?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In respect to this delegation, the motion that we would be considering for Mr. Bondi would be that exemptions to sections 4.1b, 9.31, and 9.32 of the sign bylaw
just, you know, to satisfy, because we're moving forward, and Mr. Bondi has indicated that he would work with us, that the proposed sign be sent to the Heritage Committee for review or recommendations, okay, to make the sign more consistent with our heritage characteristics.
Mr. Mayor, I'm fine with that amendment.
Okay. I just got a quick question. When are we expecting the urban design guidelines back?
Through your worship, I would imagine that the urban design guidelines will be back to us in the meeting in July.
Is that timeline okay, or is that?
Been a year and a half, so you don't want another month or two.
Okay. Now, Councilor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Nicole. So if we approve this tonight, we are approving a sign that exceeds the width and the height that we have already decreed these signs must be, right?
That is correct.
I just want to be fair here, okay? And there is a logic to the fact that if Mr. Bondi had been here 2 weeks ago, this probably would have been approved. And to now put the moratorium before his proposal, I don't think that's quite fair, but I think it should end here. If we approve Mr. Bondi, that's it. Then we go to the moratorium and we do the moratorium. But in all fairness, would have been here before this moratorium came up.
I'm just going to add, so as I understand it, so the clarification is it's being approved but subject to some possible amendments to the sign to meet the guidelines, just so everybody's clear. Okay? And Councilor Pluja?
Thank you. And did it also have to go to the Heritage Committee? Was that part of it?
Yeah, that was that's my expectation, that it would have to go to the Heritage Committee and obviously back to administration to communicate with Mr. Bondi then any changes that they felt would be necessary for it to be put.
Absolutely, yeah. Anything you guys need, I think it's it.
Any other questions or comments? Councilor Levine?
What's the time frame? Like, I know it's hard to give a time frame, but I mean, he has been in a while. I just don't want this to be some never-ending process where the Heritage Committee sends it back and says, no, this, and then the urban guidelines say this, and we get into some sort of a debating spat with a business owner about what they want to do on their property. Is there any kind of, we can give him sort of like, you can get your sign up in 2090, or is it going to be next month or 3 weeks or what?
So that's a very good question. Thank you, Councilor. I don't know when the meeting of the next Heritage Committee is, but we can set up a special meeting to discuss perhaps June 7th is the next meeting. So June 7th will be the next meeting. We can set up a meeting to discuss that, and Brad can bring his ideas, and the Heritage Committee can offer their ideas. They've offered a lot of input in the urban design guidelines. And I want people in this room to understand that this is not about, it's about creating the sense of place that we're trying to do here in Amherstburg. It's not about preventing signs. It's about making sure that they fit within the context of the town we're trying to create. That's all. And we'll get that done as quickly as possible, June 7th.
Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Councilor Craig?
Mr. Mayor, one other point. Just all fairness to Brad, because Brad's, you know, been the one trying for a year or so. You know, I think Brad's going to conform to whatever we need, because he has a valued interest in what the town looks like too, and in moving forward. So I think, you know, all fairness to Brad's, his name out there for this sign, but it's the process that's been more the issue than the person. So I just want to make sure you recognize that way.
I appreciate that.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Thank you, Mr. Bondi. Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Go Vegas. Boost.
That brings us to 5.2, Mr. Pateo.
Thank you.
Counselor Levine.
Thank you, through you to the delegate. I just wanna clarify, when you say Waterview Pools and the delegate, they own the property that the off-site signs are on. They own the actual property that the off-site signs have been put on. Waterview Pools, the man who owns Waterview Pools, owns that piece of property that that sign is on. And Mr. Vaughn, you cite that he's the same thing. That was the difference, just so you're not, you're aware that it's not that you can just go get, like, this, it would be easy for everybody to go get a sign or a letter from a property owner, we could put signs on everywhere. But that was the stipulation that we kinda had, that you had to own the property in order to put an off-site sign.
I'm under the understanding that the business needs to operate on that property. Am I misunderstanding that?
All of the above, but the exemptions given so far by council, I think what the council was just trying to clarify is, we do understand what you're requesting, but there is a difference from what has already been approved on the basis that all the signs that were granted were based on the fact that the owner owned the property. Although they were not doing business there, they did own the property.
Right.
So there is a bit of a difference in what you're asking for is to actually put a sign on property you don't own, and you don't do business there. So that's the difference. Counselor Pujet.
And further to that, thank you, Mr. Tato, but further to that, Waterview Pools did not own the business that they were advertising in Amherstburg. Their business was in Harrell, and that's why it voted against it.
Counselor Breyer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, but as another counselor stated, he is a property owner, which is a taxpayer, and that's why the sign exemption was given to him, because he's the owner of the property. Yes, he's not doing business there. He's not gonna put up a little booth and say, okay, go down the road where I'm just outside of town, but owning property, he still pays taxes, and that's why the exemption was given, because he owned the property, or anyone else coming to us owned the property as Mr. Bondi. So unfortunately, I don't see everybody else coming to us say, I wanna put a sign here, a sign there, unless you own the property. That's the only exemption that I felt that council could give to the sign bylaw. But to put it on somebody else's property and say, well, somebody else did it. Well, if you own the building where your signs currently are, then I can, or the property, I can say, yeah, we could do that, but right now you don't. So that's the difference. So, I see.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, I would need a motion. Councilor Fryer.
Move receipt of the delegation.
Thank you. Second, Councilor Melosh. All those in favor? Carried. Thank you, sir. And that brings us to 5.3. We're looking to hear from the residents of Angstrom. And if you could state your name and address, please, for the record.
Zane Handysides, 139 Angstrom. I want to thank council for agreeing to hear us today. I appreciate the work put on the agenda in advance. I understand that the reason for the request we're asking council to consider is moving Angstrom Crescent up the list of priority road repairs. I understand that Councilor Fryer and a member of administration recently toured Angstrom Crescent in its crumbling state. The property, the road is getting worse as time goes on. I've been an owner of the property there since December of 2005. I've seen year over year the road gets worse and worse. The road, for those that aren't familiar with it, is made of concrete. Each year, large holes, potholes develop. Crumbling pieces of concrete are jagged and angling and sticking up out of the holes that come each spring and fall. The town seems to repair the holes using asphalt, which doesn't work. The repair seems to be a short-term band-aid that lasts a couple of months, and then the hole is larger than it was in the spring, and now it's filled with gravel and debris. The debris is getting onto vehicles, it's causing property damage to the homeowners, it's destroying lawns because the debris from the road repairs end up on the lawns. More concerning is the damage to the residents. We have with us Mr. Liberty, who a few years ago was riding a bike on road, causing her to fall off and significantly damaging her toe. It had to be surgically repaired. She missed 8 weeks of work as a result of that. She has pictures on her phone, for those that wish to see it, of the damage done to her body, the road rash on her leg, and the damage to her toe when she fell off of her bike. That, unfortunately, is not an isolated incident. The street is occupied by families with young children. It appears to be the second generation moving into the property, and a lot of us have young children who can't play in the road. They can't ride their bikes without fear of hitting potholes and falling over. Residents such as my neighbor, Aldo DiBiase, who rides a motorcycle, avoids going on his own road because of the damage that he's concerned about falling on the road. He takes the side entrance off of Point West Drive because his property is closest to Point West Drive than it is to the other end. He's not alone in that regard. There's another member of our community here as well, also living on Angstrom, also operates a motorcycle, also tries to avoid the road as much as possible. It's becoming a potential hazard, a liability hazard for the homeowners. If there's if somebody's injured on the road adjacent to their property, they could potentially be sued, and then by extension, the town sued, of course, as well. Nobody wants that to happen. We just want the road to be repaired. I understand that it's currently listed as 170th on the priority list. I can't imagine that there are 169 roads in worse condition than Angstrom Crescent. This is a picture of a pothole, a large piece of jagged concrete that I described before, sticking up out of the out of the road. This is not an isolated pocket. The road is crumbling. It's simply disintegrating around us. And the repair of putting asphalt into these holes just simply isn't working. There appears to be, from the homeowner's perspective, no long-term solution being offered by the town. There are ineffective band-aids that unfortunately are making the problem worse. And what we're asking for is a long-term solution. Did you consider our request to move the priority of Angstrom up much higher on the list remove and repair the road, not simply repair the potholes as has been done in the 12 and a half years of that?
Okay, Councilor Pluja.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Handyside, for bringing this to our attention. Mr. Mayor, if I could direct my question, I believe it would be to Todd. Todd, at one time, I think it was about 6 years ago, I think we had Angstrom to be repaired. I believe it was in the 2014, and they kept getting pushed back. Where are we now with that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, in previous budgets, and you're right, years ago, previous to when we had our road speed study completed, Angstrom had been identified as a road of concern, as are many of our other roads, and there were certainly many roads above it at that time. In 2016, we took on the road speed study through an independent consultant to try and give us some direction with respect to which roads require repair first and soonest, and also help counsel with those decisions, because it was always difficult to separate the resident from the road, so to speak. And having an independent consultant come in and look at those roads gave us sort of a bird's eye view of them without having that that homegrown feel of what that road looks like. I believe Angstrom right now is, and I think it's 180th in that list. Those are not entire roads. Some of those roads are sections, like, for example, Fryer would be broken up into 8 or 10 different sections, so it's not as if Fryer is one road. It would be broken up into a number of different sections. And the difficulty is when, I'll give the example, the picture is actually a kind of a good example in how the road speed study works. One, you know, you have sections that are in poor condition, and there's no question about that. But then you look at the other side of the road, and they're in, it's in relatively good condition based on that picture.
I just got to ask one at a time. So after he's done, you can have an opportunity at the mic. Go ahead, Todd.
And I guess in comparison to some of our other roads, and I'm not disagreeing that road is in disrepair, but when they do a road speed study, it's taken, all the roads are taken into consideration, the entire road. And when we have situations, and Councilor Fryer is familiar with the second consecutive session where we've done so much patching that it's actually raised it up on the list, even though it's hasn't been replaced, just because we've repaired a number of the four sections. So that's how the roads need study comes up with those numbers. There certainly are a number of roads that are ahead of this, of Angstrom, and that's where it stands right now.
Councilor Friar? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Councilor Pouche.
Thank you. So, Todd, I don't want to put you on the spot, but have you looked at this section of the road that Mr. Handyside is referring to? Have you been able to go out there and look at that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, no, I did not. As it's not really part of my role as the manager of engineering, I believe that Eric has looked at this as the manager of roads and fleet. Because at this point, it's more of a maintenance issue than a replacement.
I'll hold my comments until the rest of it.
Okay. Councilor Friar?
Yes, Mayor, and I'm going to bite my tongue because I think when we got roads that are in this poor shape, to say that one section, you know, that's why the roads need study is there, so that way we can just, you know, do one little section. You know, obviously we need to, and I hope the next council coming in goes back to road tours, because all you have to do is go out on any time throughout the day, Todd, and take a look at this road. It's pathetic. It's not even close to being, well, we're going to patch here, we're going to patch there. It's one of those forgotten dead-end roads that, you know, nobody pays attention to it because there's derelict buildings down there. That's what I would think this building, this road is. That's how bad it is. When we walked it, John and I, and one of the residents, you could see what's happening. You could see. I heard the stories from people getting hurt. That's why I've taken this on, because I got hurt from in a section of a sidewalk that wasn't repaired by the town. So I'm sick and tired of hearing people getting sick or getting hurt or falling, or people coming to visit people and their kids get hurt. That's not what we're doing in this town. There's a point where you get to, well, what's needed and what should be done. Roads need study. Whoever did this, we need to take them back down there. I'll make a motion later to take a look at this road, because what's happened to it isn't 170th on the list. And then to say that we're following the road, well, we didn't. Because what number is Creek Road? Isn't it third and fifth? So we're doing Creek Road outside of the roads need study. Our council proved that. So we've already gone outside of the roads need study to allow for a road to be done. So Creek Road isn't number one? Is it number one and two? I don't think it was.
I think Andy Mitt is probably going to provide some clarification.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Creek Road on the list is 2 and 5. The only one in front of it is Texas Road, the section in front of the new port. So as administration at budget time, because of the dollars that we had as far as road repair, we recommended those two segments of Creek and getting them done together as our main project for 2018. Number 2 and number 5 on the list.
So my point, Mr. Mayor, we went outside the roads need study already. We went 2 and 5. So, and councilors, you can do whatever you want, but you know what? This is fact. People live down there. If you live down there, I mean, I'm sure you'd have a concern too, but it's got to the point where we need administration to go back to a consultant and say, okay, what is the state of this road?
I don't think that's in dispute, but as far as the report goes, when it was presented, administration was pretty clear that it was not necessarily intended to be a you have to do this road first, this road next. There was other considerations about how big of areas there were, what other roads could be done at the same time. So I don't think the intent of the report was ever to say that you had to do the roads in this order.
I disagree with you, if I could, Mr. Mayor, because we've heard if you don't go through the order, then the town could be liable. So we've already heard that. That's why we haven't brought other roads. In the last 2 years, this road's gotten way worse since it's been brought up in budgets. So,
Antonette?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. when we recommend the roads, we obviously look at liability for the town. And at any time, the town can be liable if anything happens on a road. But it, to us, to go to 2 and 5 and to argue if something were to happen to number 1 is a little different of an argument than if we skip to 183 to try to argue that if something happens to those other roads. So there is consideration. We have an engineering report from a third party, looked at the roads with no other influence, and that's how we come up in restoration with our recommendations every year. We do look at the number of cars, the speed, but this list is just on pavement condition, so the condition of the actual road, and that's how we move forward with recommendations.
Councilor Levine?
Thank you. I can attest to that because I lived on Angstrom 20 years ago, and I think it was there. So I sympathize with these people, and I understand. There's got to be something, but I would caution the fact that two meetings ago, we had some people here from the second, and that was the one that had to be done right now, and we got told it was millions of dollars. And now, this week, it's another road, and this one's got to be done. If certain members of council are going to every week get groups together from with their roads, I think the roads need study told us we needed, what, $260 million or something right now of upgrades and roads in Amherstburg, in that ballpark of $250 million. I'm not sure, it's pretty close. And that's why we did the roads need study. I don't think it should be 180th either, personally, but I'm not an engineer or an expert on this matter. This needs to be fixed for sure. But again, I understand where you're gonna say, because I lived on that road, I know how horrible it is. But I can tell you right now, every time we go out, we just had this conversation, there's groups of residents that have these issues with their roads. Councilor Lodge got stopped by someone who couldn't even fit a Kleenex box under his road. He almost got his car stuck just going to visit the guy just last week. It's horrible that previous councils didn't spend money on roads. It's just the way it is. I mean, we just upped the budget on roads in this budget, and it's not enough. It's still not enough. If we could come up with $250 million, I wish we could. Todd, what would it cost to fix Angstrom, to redo the whole road?
In asphalt.
In whatever it costs.
I'm going off my memory on the roads need study, but I think it would probably be in the neighborhood of $350,000 to $400,000.
Okay.
That's a different road because of the concrete and the curbs being integral. It is obviously one of a kind in our town, and we probably have to look at considerations of whether we removed and probably placed with asphalt as a replacement and new curbs. But I think in the $350,000 to $400,000 range would be my best guess.
So, could we, I mean, going forward, I hate to. This is a difficult thing for us because I understand you people are looking at us like, oh, you don't want to fix my road. But we've been here 4 years and we've been tackling this. But literally, in the last three meetings, there's been this an ongoing story. And I have a feeling it's going to be an ongoing story until the next council comes in, where every week it's going to be, this road has to be done today. And this one I agree. It's in horrible condition. But again, maybe if we get the administration to come back with a report telling us exactly the cost and how we could come up with money, because this isn't budget, right? We're supposed to run a budget just like you run your household. And if we just, every, like, 400,000 may not seem like a lot, but I can tell you right now, once we do this, the people on second concession that was brought up last week, they want theirs done, and that's another million. And then the people on the third, where there's a huge pothole, they're gonna say, what the heck, I want my, and that's gonna be another, we could be in the tens of millions unbudgeted, right? And that's the dilemma I as a counselor face, is saying, yeah, these residents deserve this road to be fixed now, but where do I get the money, and how do I justify it to the other 20,000 people who also have road issues? Like, let's be honest, we all travel Amherstburg. There's a lot of road issues in this town that we've been inheriting over the last two decades. So I hope that administration can bring it back and we can figure out a way to pay for it. But I can't say, like, we can pull 400,000 out of that.
Before I take your comment, I think we need a motion so that at the very least we're all talking about the same thing. Right. Councilor Fryer?
I'll make a motion that administration prepare a report and investigate the matter of Angstrom and report back to council.
Councilor Levine, second. So now on that motion, Councilor Fryer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted council to know I didn't prepare, I didn't invite everybody to council, contrary to popular belief. These people went to the paper already. One resident asked administration and myself to come for a tour, and that's what we did. They're the ones here as residents, not on my request to come here and put this grandiose plot together. No, it's their road, it's not my road.
Okay.
I'm a counselor for the town.
Okay, fair enough. So everybody said their piece. if we could just refrain from talking about each other and stick to the roads issue. So on the roads issue, is there any questions on the motion? Okay, all those in favor? Carry. Thank you.
And my final comment, Your Worship.
Yes.
From an ownership standpoint and a resident standpoint, we're looking for a long-term solution.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't seem to be getting that. We keep getting put into the repair side as opposed to the replace side. And we need to get this road onto the replace side, and we need to your assistance in getting us up the list to become more of a priority. We do feel like the forgotten road that Councilor Fryer talked about, that nobody goes down the derelict roads. What you have there are people that are beautifying their property and renovating it and enhancing it, and you have a road that, quite frankly, is embarrassing and, I believe, unsafe. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, sir. Councilor Milosh?
And I appreciate what you're saying, but I know a road that Canada Post refused to deliver mail to the residents on that road.
If we're going to get into more roads.
No, but I just want to understand. There are roads out there. Okay.
Okay.
I didn't say anything earlier, but there are the roads that are the same. I feel for the gentleman, and these people are coming after me on the same issue. When the Canada Post can't get their mail, that gets pretty tough.
I think we do agree that the road has issues, and I can tell you that this council has absolutely been trying to allocate funds to stop the band-aids and do major replacements. And that's why the cost, as the issue was raised, is an issue, because we don't want to just fix the roads. If we're going to fix them, we'd like to replace them. So, and that's where the bigger numbers come from. But we definitely hear your point, and administration will bring the report.
Just really quickly, this has been painted around. I think the residents are wondering, when are they gonna either this piece taken out or something, because right now it's like a swollen course to go down the road. Even if you drive down there,
I think administration's going to be on it as quickly as possible. We have had some administration out there. Todd has made out there, obviously, for the reasons he gave, but we do have roads people who will be out there. And they will address this the best they can while we work on getting another engineer out there and reviewing what's happened since the report was done.
This would literally rip the bottom of your car driving over it that night.
I don't think anybody's disputing
exactly.
The condition of your road.
This high.
Yeah.
Any low profile car comes through.
But we do understand what you're saying there. So that brings us to the next issue, which is 7.1. Councilor Melange?
Move the recommendation.
Second, Councilor Fryer. Any questions or comments on the report? Councilor Puget?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Some people might complain that we have to raise the water and raise water rates, but I think we're being very, very reasonable, very cautious about this. With the Clean Water Act of 2002, council was obligated to ensure that our residents have a clean drinking water, right? And Aqua and our departments are doing a tremendous job to keep our water safe and our wastewater facilities up to date. So over the year, with both water and wastewater rates, it's only $15 per household. And I think that's a very small price to pay to ensure that we continue to have these facilities up to code.
Councilor Fryer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Speaking to a lot of residents about this too, the concern is our price. We seem to be going higher and higher, but the feedback I get all the time is they love the taste of our water. Everyone is very happy with what we're getting, and in a 60 or almost 70 year old, I don't know how old it is, but that water treatment plant's got to be, it's way before my time, but that treatment plant in they're doing, where the feedback positive is the taste of the water is great. They love it. So it's something we should be touting more than, you know, while we're only increasing the water rates and water and wastewater, but the taste of the water is really good and people really appreciate the work they're doing.
Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with Councilor Fire. I have no problem. If there's a bottle of water sitting there, or going to my tap and pouring myself a glass of water, putting some ice in it, I don't notice the difference, and I think for $15 I can well afford $15 for the taste of that water and the quality of the water that this town produces.
There's also some other good stats in there, I'll say, like in comparison to other municipalities that also have their own water plants. We do rank very fairly as far as our rates go. We definitely can't compete with other municipalities who don't have water plants. They just don't have to maintain them. But we're working on what we can do about that. So do we have a move on this yet? No.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Sorry. So is there any other comments? Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to ask for council's indulgence to add an amendment to the motion, including that it's page 95 of your current agenda. It's a report that went with the water and wastewater operating capital budgets. The recommendation is that the March 1, 2018 request to Infrastructure Ontario to amend the CWWF grant agreement to replace the Amherstburg Water Treatment Plant Reservoir Upgrade and Redundancy Project with the Edgewater Sewage Diversion Project, Force Main Construction and Pump Station Upgrades be affirmed, and the Edgewater Sewage Diversion Project, Force Main Construction and Pump Station Upgrades be considered, be approved in the 2018 water wastewater budget.
Councilor Pryor, you okay with that?
Yes.
And Councilor Melosh, you're okay with that? Okay. And Councilor Pucci, you got another comment?
Just for clarification, so it's added on to 7.1? That's
correct. It's an addition to points 1 and 2 that are already there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other comments? All those in favor? Carried. Brings us to 7.2, the Ontario Main Street Revitalization Initiative. There is an or in this recommendation, so I would need to know which reference council has. That is under 3 or 4. Oh, sorry, and we might as well deal with the Gateway signage report as well. Councilor Melosh?
Well, that was my question, was clarification, because when you really, because when you look at the Gateway and you look at 3 and 4, 3 and 4 are really one and the same, because all the money at the end of the day looks like it refers back to the CIP to the Gateway. So 3, whether you adopt 3 or adopt 4, isn't the money really being directed towards the CIP program, which would in turn find its way to Gateway? As I read it, there I read it wrong.
Well, 1 is explicit. 4 is explicit to fund the Gateway
yeah.
signage. 3 just refers it back to the overall CIP. The CIP could include the Gateway signage.
Right. Your Gateway program says it's coming out of the CIP, the money, is it not? Under, what is it, 10? What is it, 10?
11.1. The Gateway signage report talks about a transfer from the reserve.
Oh, from the reserve, sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So what the reserve transfer would be reduced if council were to approve the Gateway project in option 4 by $57,051.
So for clarification, the preferred choice is 4. Under, if I read administration correctly.
If you agree to the Gateway signage.
Okay.
That's the driver. Council needs to agree to the Gateway signage, and then if they go to option 4, then from a funding mechanism, there is a reduction in the reserve transfer.
Councilor Pooja?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have been approached by two businesses on Richmond Street. I think Rebecca is aware of this. And they were holding off because they were working on their frontage. but they were trying to work with Heritage, the urban design, and they thought that money might be available to that, but if we go with the signage, they won't be able to tap into that program.
Through your worship to Councilor Puget, administration, when we bring back the program for the community improvement program and funding mechanisms, we're going to be looking for a long-term sustainable funding program on that. So for example, we've had some preliminary discussions of an ongoing, for example, $100,000 a year in our capital budget being allocated for CIP. So this is just simply a funding mechanism to reduce the cost. We have up until 2020 to deal with the funding that's been approved here to us. We just, based on what I've heard from council and based on what we've been hearing from the community, we know that we need to fund a CIP program, and we're going to bring that forward in the 2019 capital budget.
Councilor Pryor?
I'll make a motion to receive the report, be approved, authorized, and that section 4 be directed, administration be directed to apply the funding towards eligible costs for strategic municipal physical infrastructure, signage, wayfinding, directional, and or gateway, as outlined in the report from the Chief Administrative Officer dated May 22nd, 2018, titled Gateway Signage.
Is there a second? Councilor Melange? Question? Councilor Melange?
The question I have is a clarification that the for transparency purposes, you talk about some operational costs once we have the signage up, but you say, well, that'll get recovered by revenues, potentially. And for transparency, how much is the annual operation cost going to be that's not been disclosed here?
Well, I will answer that because there's a big answer to that, Councillor Wash. So from the gateway signage perspective, we know what the capital cost is. There are LED, the signage, so that the costs are minimal. What we're going to do from an asset management perspective, and this is what's failed to happen in a number of our projects, we're going to look at a cost to recover the replacement of those signage through the revenues that will be driven through the advertisement on the gateway signages. So we're going to try and make that whole program sustainable and bring that back to council. I can't tell you what it's going to be.
So you're trying for cost neutral.
Cost neutral, for sure. We don't want it to be cost prohibitive, but we don't want to make money on it, as what people think potentially out there. But we want to offer an opportunity to really change the sense of place. I keep on talking about the sense of place in our community, and we think the gateway signage will be able to do that and make a fair, in my mind, hopefully remove all portable signs in the town.
Yay.
Councilor Pryor?
Thank you, Mr. President. So basically, John, you're looking at a cost neutral.
Yeah.
And if there is revenue, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, organizations, festivals, whoever wants to advertise in there, that's a cost of doing business too inside the town.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have an avenue for them to do this,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's okay with the town to provide a revenue stream rather than a negative back to the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think it's going to come back cost neutral. But I think we're going to see a revenue stream through this.
To be clear, though, for the businesses looking to improve their facades, that is still going to be available.
That is definitely going to happen.
Councilor Puget?
Thank you. So just saying that, what should I say when I get back to them?
So what you need to tell, excuse me, through your worship to Councilor Puget, what you can tell the business owners that are out there that want to do community facade improvements, business facade improvements, administration will be bringing a program forward to be funded in the 2019 capital budget going forward. I'm suggesting it's going to be $100,000. It may be more, maybe less. I'm not sure, because we need to get that wrapped up. But we will have it included in the 2019 capital budget for sure.
I'm not sure if I can wait that long, because they already have it ripped off the front of their building, the two businesses that are joined in the same.
So in order to answer that, when council approves the parameters of what they're going to offer, then we can look at it case-by-case basis. It is up to council's will to do that. And what I would say to you is, if we're not going to take it from, there will be money in the reserve to fund it, because we're taking the 57,000 and not putting it in, right? So there's gonna be money there.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. That brings us to... Sorry, that brings us to the Gateway signage report, which I think is probably a formality at this point, but Counselor Milosh?
I'll move the recommendation.
Second, Counselor Pryor, all those in favor? Carried. And that brings us to 8.1, the proclaiming June as Recreation and Parks Month. Counselor Milosh?
Move the recommendation.
Second? Deputy Mayor? Any questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. 9.1, amendments to the right-of-way permit.
Sorry, 3.1, proclaiming this as Recreation and Parks Month. I just wanted to bring up, I got a few emails, I don't know if council did too, about the fishing being one person outside the area and us laying charges. That's ecotourism. Parks, recreation. I think when we're looking forward to the town doing something at Duffy's, we gotta be mindful of ecotourism along with just our regular recreational programs. So.
Thank you. Brings us to 9.1. Councilor Milosh?
Move the recommendation.
Second, Councilor Pryor. Any questions or comments? Councilor Puja?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Paula. So I'm sorry I didn't call you earlier, Paula, on this, and I think it was just, was it now? Maybe it is you that has this report. It is, Todd. Okay, so Todd, the only change from the December 11th, 2017, bylaw that we passed is that we're changing it from $5 million to $2 million dollars that the permit holder will have to carry. It's just that. That's basically it for the amendment.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, that was the main one. We picked up a couple of little, you know, words where my should have been our, that sort of just little changes, but the main change was the $5 million liability insurance going to $2 million. We were having some concerns from some of the residents who were looking to do their own driveways that their home policies were usually in the $2 million range, and $5 million was over and above what they were used to, or what they had available. So in consultation with the risk manager, we determined that $2 million was suitable for this type of work.
Okay, is there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Brings us to 10.1, road dedication of parts 2, 6, and 7. Councilor Pryor?
I move the report.
Second. Councilor Levine, any questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. We dealt with 10.2. Oh, sorry. Sorry. It was deferred. So now we do have to deal with 10.2. Councilor Puja?
I so move the recommendation and that a moratorium be placed on all signage requests.
Thank you. Second. Deputy Mayor, any questions or comments? Councilor Levine?
So, Todd, I know you gave us a time frame earlier, but what's the time frame on this?
On the moratorium, we anticipate the urban design guidelines to be done by June, and then we would bring the report in July. So it'll be this.
Councilor Gordon?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just wondering, Councilor Pryor, did you not make a motion to defer this?
Until after the nominations.
So
The motion was to defer, basically until it, till we got to that portion of the agenda, which is where we're at. Councilman Walsh?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't oppose the moratorium, but I guess my problem is time, in all fairness to everybody, businesses alike. I'd like to see some timeframe that says more, you know, 6-month moratorium, 3-month moratorium, something that now defines a timeline that sort of gives administration a target that they need to work to. And again, it really, it's in fairness to the businesses that, you know, want to advertise, in one form or another.
Through your worship to Councilman Walsh, if council wants to place a, no later than moratorium, like sort of thing, I mean, that's council's purview. We could be going through the urban design guidelines and have them, like I indicated, back to council, for a decision this summer. But let's not forget, right, the core issue here is, every time a business comes here, they're seeking for relief. They're always seeking for relief from a bylaw that council's approved. So I guess my concern once again is, the moratorium's just going to tell them they can't come to council until we have this relief, but I have heard pretty loud and clear from a number of folks that, you know, they want, council to hold on to the bylaw. But if through your worship to Councilman Walsh, if you want to put a timeframe, I would suggest that, you know, you put a timeframe of no more than 6 months.
You know, I hear what you're saying, and I'll agree, you know, just we'll leave it at it's at your discretion, but you've committed to, let's say, you know, 2 or 3 months, whatever. That's fair.
And Councilor Pouche, just for clarification, you move the motion as it's written, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Gateway signage, we dealt with. Brings us to information reports, item 12. Councilor Pryor?
I'll move items 12.2 and 12.1 and 2.
Thank you. Second, Councilor Pouche. In receiving those reports, all in favor? Carried. And any of those, Councilor Pouche?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to our chief. Regarding 12.2 monthly fire department activity report for April of 2018, in the breakdown, it gives fire permits, inspections, and then fire permits issued. The fire permits inspected was 164, and the fire permits issued were 78. Could you please expand on that?
Thank you, Councillor, for the question. Through you, your worship. Yes, the numbers you're seeing there are indicative of the number of inspections that we've been requested to do, so people applying for a permit. However, when staff arrive on scene, they're finding what has been put in place for us to inspect to be non-compliant with the requirements of the new bylaw, which means a number of things. More education is needed prior to our visits to the individual properties. But what we're also finding is when we are visiting properties who perhaps were not in compliance with the previous bylaw, it is somewhat indicative of how unsafe they were conducting those open fires in the past. So it's a good thing, because by the time we're done and by the time they get approval, if they get approval, they're much more educated than they were prior to our visits, and there's usually multiple visits. And that's simply going to make the initiative of the open burning bylaw that much safer for everyone.
Councilor Pryor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, through you to the chief, with the new bylaw, what are the timelines if somebody was to put an application in today? How quickly can we get out now that all of a sudden Mother Nature turned the heat on, everyone wants to get out? And I'm just curious, what's the timeline on putting an application in tomorrow, the approval process?
Thank you for the question. That's again through you, your worship. We're typically right now,
stress the first visit, because most of our inspections are requiring more than one visit to gain compliance.
Counsel Milosh?
We're back to the 12-1, Mr.
Mike Paul?
Mr. Mike Paul, what's the overall cost of this training program? I know it's not gonna be done just this year, but what's your estimate of the total cost of the town with all this training? Because I see you've got, you talk about new hires, you talk about various training levels, you talk about the cost of a trainer, you talk about all this. What's the total cost?
Thank you for that question. The answer won't be quite as short as the question, though, because it is rather complicated. So if you recall the original report that we provided to council, it estimated, based on proposed regulations, that our costs were going to be in the neighborhood of about $107,000. So the province, following the consultation period, did make a significant number of changes that affect that cost. Probably two of the most significant ones is any of our existing staff who are performing any of the duties covered by the legislation up to July 1st of 2019, there is going to be no certification required for that staff. The only exception to that will be if staff have a desire to move up through the organization. So if a firefighter has intention of someday becoming an officer, then they must be certified in order to forward. So there will be some costs in that regard, but a huge financial relief on communities such as ours. So that simply leaves us considering officer training, and for the most part, our biggest impact is any new firefighters that we will acquire, mostly through attrition. So we're looking at 6 or 7 new firefighters a year just based on past attrition. And as you see from the report, it indicates approximately $6,375 per new firefighter to complete the required certification training. And that's over a 2-year period. That's the window that they must become certified in. And then in addition to that, we're looking at annually about $40,000 in instructor costs, and training aids and the supplies and resources we use when we're training them, that kind of thing. So it's still a significant cost, but I would draw your attention in the report to a statement made by the Premier at a recent NOMA conference, where her statement basically supported the written statement by the minister, which is included in the report, that talked about assisting small and rural communities with the impact of the costs associated with this new legislation. So that, you know, 50 cents probably buys you a small coffee, because we haven't seen any framework around how the funding would work, what it would cover, and of course we're in the throes of a provincial election. So all bets are off, I guess, until we have the results of the election. So costs are still a huge outstanding concern for many, many, many municipalities, and so we're going to keep a close eye on that and continue to be active in pursuing that.
So you're estimating, I split the numbers in half, you're talking about $60,000 a year in additional costs. But can some of that, because you always have some ongoing training programs, can some of that cost be mitigated already by the fact that you have a trainer that's doing training, and you have firefighters that are doing ongoing training anyway, so some of that cost will be mitigated?
Yes, and thank
department
you.
Of budget, yeah.
Absolutely, and those costs have been built in through you, Your Worship. Currently, the firefighters spend 94 hours a year, 60 of which is this training, because we knew this was coming, so different candidate to be a firefighter who has the time to put in to this kind of commitment. But it is a deep concern of ours, and so we will continue to keep you informed as it unfolds.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions on those items? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to consent correspondence, 13. Counselor Levy?
I move receipt 13-1 to 13-4.
Thank you. Second, Counselor Milosh. To receive, all those in favor? Carried. And any of those items, Counselor Milosh?
13-2, the McGregor Heritage event. Encourage people to come out. See the church itself, okay, that's been through two tornadoes and suffered severe damage twice and has still survived. And so, piece of history that that's the only town of Amherstburg, and then our famous snake. Anyway, so that event is on Thursday night for those who are interested.
Councilor Pucher?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. 13.1, I just wondered if it would be a good idea if Council sent a letter to the Amherstburg Rotary Club thanking them and congratulating them for their award for the Fire Marshal's Public Fire Safety Award.
I think that would be a great idea. Councilor Pryor, second. All those in favor? Carried. We will prepare a letter for them. Councilor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to make sure that Councilor Milosh will let me know where not to park, where the person couldn't get the box Kleenex.
That's a road.
That's a road.
Okay. Councilor Pryor.
13.4. If Council can approve a resolution that will allow the AGRA's autonomous vehicle initiative for the town, and that administration would allow them to which roads to try the autonomous vehicles on.
Yeah, with our fiber initiative, I think that makes us an ideal candidate. Second on that motion? Councilor Pouget? Any questions? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. I think we've dealt with most of those there. That brings us to 14.1, National Health Fitness Day. Councilor Pryor?
I'll move the recommendation in June 2nd be proclaimed as National Health and Fitness Day in the town of Amherstburg.
Thank you. Second. Deputy Mayor? Councilor Pryor?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but because we're proclaiming this day of health and fitness, I'm just curious to add into this maybe how or when we clean the trails that we've put up now. Thomas Road, Milosh, Texas, we have new signage for bike lanes up on Sandwich Street. So are we actively trying to keep these trails clean so that way residents can use them?
I'll take that question. I guess I'll answer that. Go ahead.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I was just going to say that the road sweeper, we have a schedule, and I believe that schedule came to council. I don't remember when. Where we have a regular set time that we go through it. There has been some construction in certain areas that have made it a bit more challenging, but we're trying to get a handle on that and definitely trying to keep it as clean as we can. But the sweeper itself, we try to maintain some sort of schedule so that we're not favoring one road over the other, but we're trying to do it the best we can.
I think the construction presents an exception, I guess. So in those cases, what's our contingency plan, I guess, for the residents who are contacting us and saying there's stones all over the pathways?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we have been in constant contact with the developers and the home builders, and just trying to keep them on task with keeping things clean, set route that they're supposed to be taking as far
And so it's just basically constant education as far as what they should be doing. And the developer has been very good as far as bringing things in to clean the roads. And there's a lot of action going on right now, so we're just trying to keep on top of it.
Okay. Okay, is there any other questions or comments? No, okay, all those in favor? Carried. Consent other minutes? Councilor Melange?
Move that the minutes be received.
And second, Councilor Courtney? In receipt, all those in favor? Carried. And any comments or questions on those items? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to unfinished business. Any unfinished business? Councilor Pryor?
Through you to the CEO. Just curious, the striper liner for the Rose Center, if you're able to contact anybody to see if they could do a demo out of the fields to show the residents, user groups, and I watched some of our town staff line, and it's very, very labor intense to be doing it. So just curious where we're at with that.
Through your worship to Councilor Fryer, we made some calls. I believe it's the equipment's going to be in Windsor for June, and we're going to be having a demo here in June, but I'll confirm that because we wanted both pieces of equipment. So I believe Sandy, Mr. Lindsay, advised me it was going to be happening in June.
Just further to that, I'm just wondering, instead of the town looking at possibly purchasing, are we able to contract? Because the usage could be used with other municipalities.
Through your worship to Councilor Fryer, that's definitely something we'll look at. Is having that done for us for tournaments, for example, the striping for tournaments. But the actual line marking, that might be something that we could do on a more regular basis.
Any other unfinished business? Councilor Pujia?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was trying to find it, but I do have something written down. We had resolution number 2017-1010-920, and it was to set forth requirements to charge all new homeowners or developers a fee for the town to plant a tree 3 inches in caliber in front of any new home on town property that is not part of a subdivision agreement. Do you know how long that will be before it comes back before council? Trying to find it online.
243?
Yes.
We passed that.
It's under unfinished business.
Through you, Mayor, I believe we've instituted that, but I can bring that back to council. I believe we have. There were some that were held over that were in process before that motion was made, but I believe we, I have to double check, but I believe we have.
Okay, yeah, I think we just didn't close it because I could have sworn we passed that already and we should have been implementing that. Yeah.
I thought we passed the one for the subdivisions, but this is for independent homes that are being built that is not part of a subdivision agreement.
Through your mayor, yes, I think I was reading that incorrectly. We will provide an update on that.
Councilor Pryor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just curious, LED program, the RFP for Front Road from Rant Marina to Malden, if that's coming forward to council, what's the timeline?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we're working with a consultant to make sure we got our lighting levels right out there before we issue that. Instead of a proposal, we're going to do it as a tender. As we know which lights we're going to use, it's just what wattages we want to use up down there. So we're just in consultation with the engineer right now. I would hope that in maybe 6 weeks we'll have it up for tender, if that's reasonable. And then obviously after that, it would have to go close and they'd have to order the lights. But I would hope that in the next 6 to 8 weeks we can have that up for tender.
Okay, any other unfinished business? Okay, any new business?
which department, but I spoke to two. New construction of a home in Amherstburg, is it splash to ground or tie into the storm sewer? Because there's a debate and developers seem to think they can do either or whatever. So I think a while ago when we were doing sewer separations on Texas Road, when I was on council, we did smoke tests to see who was, and then they were supposed to disconnect. And now you see a lot of new homes where they're all connected. So what's the process and what's the new procedure going forward? Maybe if that has to be a report, come back to council, but there's something that has to be done. You got both things going on right now.
Yep.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that is a discussion between Public Works and the building department. Public Works is hoping to bring back a report on INI and some initiatives that we're hoping to move forward as part of the motion with the basement subsidy program that we brought forward in last September. There was part of that motion was to consider mandatory disconnections. So we're moving forward with that. There has been a bit of a disconnect as far as that and new home builds, but we have been in discussion with the building department and we're hoping to get something in place shortly.
Just further to that is a lot of the concerns come back to IRCA, and IRCA's mindset is the bigger the pipe, doesn't matter how much you put into it, it's still gonna take time for that, and you're gonna end up, so splashing the ground will allow for the soaking in of groundwater rather than the push out, especially with lake levels as high as they are. And you see River Kennard and everything else around, since those levels are gonna continue to get higher until the end of July, beginning of August. So the concern is more splash on ground and rather than try to put it in a pipe and see how fast you can get rid of it. So moving forward, I don't know if we can work with IRCA and find out what regulations or what we should be doing as a municipality and in a region, because we're gonna get, right now we're getting to a point where's the tipping point when you can bail out of land into the waterway.
So do we need to give any kind of direction? Do you need direction to start implementing that, or are you just wanna bring that back to the report?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it was part of that motion in September when we introduced the basement flooding subsidy program, so it was always the plan to bring that back.
Okay. Councilor Melange?
I just have a concern about running off of the ground in some areas where I live. This is the ground. Percolation is not very good. And so I think we have to be mindful also of maybe, you know, soil conditions in certain areas. Where the ground is not, the percolation doesn't happen that quickly or easily as the councilor referred to. But some areas yes, some areas no.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be covered in our consultation with IRCA, and that we would address different ground conditions throughout our couple hundred square kilometers there. Any other new business? Okay. Brings us to report. Nothing. Unanimous motion. Bylaws. 20.1. Councilor Melange.
Move the recommendation.
Second. Councilor Fryer. All those in favor. Carried. And brings us to 21. In camera motion. Councilor Melange.
Motion moving camera. The council moving the camera. In-camera meeting of council directly following regular session pursuant to section 239 of the Municipal Act 2001 as amended for the following reasons. Item A, Ombudsman Preliminary Report, section 239.3b, an ongoing investigation respecting the municipality, a local board or a municipality controlled corporation by the Ombudsman appointed under the Ombudsman Act. An ombudsman referred to in subsection 223.13, subsection 1 of this act, or the investigator referred to in subsection 231.21.
Second. Councilor Fryer, all those in favor? Carried.